Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Osiris.
What's going on? It's Karina Reichman, and I am thrilled to announce that right now, this moment, you're listening to Inappropriate Happiness, baby. What's going on? I am joined, as always, by my co-conspirator, my best friend, my main man, Isaac Sloan. Hi, Isaac.
Hi, Karina.
How you feeling?
I'm just brimming with excitement.
Really.
It's a wonderful, fantastic week. Here in New York City.
Dude, it literally is. It literally is. Something is a flutter. Something is a buzz in the air. I think it has something to do with that band Fish that we like coming to play four nights at MSG, but who's to say?
I don't know. I think we'll get into it in this episode, though. I have a feeling we'll get to the bottom of just exactly what is provoking our inappropriate happiness.
I think you're absolutely right. But man, yeah, I'm buzzing. I'm buzzing without a warning, left and right. It's a wild time to be alive. I feel like the music stuff here in our city is like really popping off at this moment, even minus MSG. You and I have seen some good shit in the past little bit, but notably, we saw Wilco the other day.
We did.
Dude, playing all of Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, a record near and dear to me heart.
In honor of its 20th anniversary.
Dude, so sick. And up at the United Palace Theater, which I couldn't remember the last time I was there.
Ghosts of the Forest, I saw there.
That was the last time you were there.
Trey Anastasio's Ghosts of the Forest.
Dude.
But I don't know. There was that one year that the Allman Brothers had to go up there because Cirque du Soleil was at the Beacon Theater.
Dude, or was it Banana Spiel?
Yeah, I think that was the name of the Cirque du Soleil show.
Gotcha.
Was Banana Spiel.
I just remember being in 10th grade being obsessed with Banana Spiel that uprooted our beloved Almonds and being like, it's fucking no Banana Spiel, motherfucker, but we going uptown.
I have really beautiful memories of being at those Allman Brothers shows. It was a different time than the usual Beacon run, but it was an amazing time.
Couldn't agree more. Really fun. And man, I mean, that theater, for those who don't know, we're talking about the United Palace Theater all the way up in Washington Heights, and it is so ornate, so beautiful.
It is really gorgeous. Fantastic room to see music in.
Am I wrong?
No, absolutely.
So great.
Absolutely.
Oh, the first time I was there was for Beck with MGMT opening in 2008.
I was at one of those.
Which was spectacular.
May have been the first time I was there too.
Sure. And I remember, I mean, that's a show made for me, and it's certainly a show made for eighth grade me. And that was an epic, epic time, of course. But I don't know, it was very cool. All these years later, I mean, I've seen stuff, but I want to say, like, the last thing I saw there was maybe, like, 6 years ago. Mm. And I don't know what it was, but it certainly wasn't the Allman Brothers. I've seen things post that.
Uh-huh.
So, and I really couldn't tell you, but man, beautiful theater and a great, we were both there on Sunday. They're doing what? Five nights of Wilco playing Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. An amazing thing. And, man, they really did it to a T.
Yes.
13 people on stage.
Yep.
Am I wrong?
Including Trey Anastasio's own Natalie Cressman. I mean, she's not his own Natalie Cressman, but it was cool to see a familiar face from our the jam scene exactly. Up there with Wilco.
So cool. So cool. It was her and two other lovely gentlemen on the horn section. And then there was a quartet. All-female quartet of strings that was absolutely beautiful. What do they refer to themselves as?
The Izuri Quartet.
Izuri Quartet, so good.
They were wonderful.
So good, and they opened the gig, and it was this beautiful, they're playing, the four of them. It's the lights go down, doing this incredible music, and then they stop their thing, but then the curtains open almost immediately afterwards, and it's just like, ladies and gentlemen, Wilco, I thought that was so cool. And they did the record in full, and then they played 8 encore tunes.
Yes, songs from that era of Wilco. So
totally.
Yeah.
Really cool. Really cool.
Very and sort then, of thorough homage to that really fruitful period of their career. I imagine it was... not nostalgic, but meaningful, more than nostalgic, meaningful for people who've been seeing Wilco for that long, from the 90s and in 2002. And just as cool for us who, have been seeing Wilco in their later years and to revisit that period of their career specifically.
100%. 100%. They closed with Out of Mind, Out of Sight, a fabulous cut. And then, what I love is I Got You
at the End of the Century.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's it was the most dad rock it got, in my opinion. But man, guess who's down for that? Me.
Totally.
All day.
It's a good 1-2 punch to close out the show.
So good. Really just enjoyable all around. And it started early. It ended early, but it was a beautiful little, Sunday night soiree, I would say. So man, if you guys caught Wilco playing Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, hooray for you and hooray for us.
And
holy shit.
You have more opportunities. They're doing it again tonight.
Yes.
4:19 again tomorrow, 4:20 at the United Palace Theater. And then they're taking it to Chicago.
Hey, what better place?
Home of the Wilco.
Home of the Wilco.
For a bunch of nights at the Auditorium Theater. That starts 4:22, 4:23, 4:24. Those should be fantastic as well.
Dude, what a beautiful career they've had.
Yes,
beautiful career.
Absolutely.
With many eras, many elements, the addition of Nels Klein in 2007. For me, as a huge Nels fan and appreciator, obviously, just the soundscapes, just the impossible Germany solo, which of course we didn't get because it's not the same era. Or anything, but I don't know. I'm touched by Tweety and all that he's created and done in these past, long. It's been a when God long career,
long
career. It's a beautiful thing.
They're as old as I am.
Yeah.
Right. I think we figured that
started
out.
In 94. Right.
Yeah.
Isaac was born in 94.
But they end the album and the main set with Reservations. And I don't know if it's a sappy thing to say or too much of an overt thing to say. But I did feel when Jeff Tweedy was singing, I've got reservations about so many things, but not about you. He was talking about the band.
Love that. Love that. I mean. Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
That was just the feeling I was left
I like with. That. Well, Tweety very famously, much like Robert Hunter, right, refuses to talk about his lyrics in a big way.
Yeah.
And, don't believe in touchdowns. Everybody's been trying to figure that one out
for
a long time, and he won't talk about them. And I think that's such a cool, it's kind of a forgotten art. I feel like now everybody's so... into the expose, into what they're talking about and being
Absolutely.
So overly candid and so overly, divulgent
Totally.
About their art and about their process and all that stuff, which I'm guilty of. I like to, I don't know. But there's a lost art to holding something back for yourself
Absolutely.
And letting people project their own shit onto what you're putting out there,
And I think on any given night, that song can mean any number of things, right? That's just the way I was feeling.
Oh, 100%. It's just interesting. It's just interesting. It's
wildly interesting.
Yeah, we could do a whole episode on that. Oh, wow. I love it.
And tonight,
oh, dude,
the two of us are going to a gig where there will probably be seldom, you know, maybe not a single lyric.
Perhaps not a single lyric, but man, this is a big one, folks. This is a big one. We are taping this on 4/19. And we are going to Town Hall to see probably, you know, in terms of people who are alive, this is maybe the strongest jazz supergroup I could even fathom. And it includes Brian Blade, Joshua Redman, Christian McBride, and Brad Meldow.
Yes, it is Joshua Redman's quartet.
Boom.
And they're calling it the Mood Swings Reunion because this quartet recorded an album many years ago called Mood Swings and just put out another one in 2020 called Round Again on the Nonsuch Records label, which I believe put out Yankee Hotel Foxtrot.
That's probably correct.
I think that's right.
Yeah, Nonsuch, all day.
And it's either correct or wildly wrong.
Who's to say?
But I am really looking forward to this group. They played the Blue Note last night, small, intimate two sets at you know New York's finest Blue Note Jazz Club. And tonight it's at Town Hall before they take it to Chicago tomorrow, much like Wilco,
yep,
to play Symphony Hall. Then Ann Arbor, Toronto, and Boston to round out the weekend. And, you know, like you said, I mean, this is kind of an idyllic lineup.
It's pretty heavy cats in every position across the board. I mean, you know, we could play a game where, like, you could replace one member. I don't even know where I would start. It's going to be so, like, these people are the best at what they do in every single position. I don't know. I really love to go see jazz and kind of just take in the mastery of what these guys have digested throughout their entire careers and then what they put out. You know, it's an amazing thing. And I'm so not a studied, studious player in any way, shape, or form. So I appreciate it so much. And I just love to see people who do have that all under their belt kind of, you know, shoot from the hip and improvise in these really incredible ways, you know?
No kidding.
Yeah.
And both the Mood Swing record from 1994, the year I was born, as well as Round Again from 2020, were recorded here in New York City.
Unbelievable. So it's an homage to our great, great town right here, the Big Apple. That feels amazing. That's cool that we're seeing it here and not in, you know, somewhere else. That's so sick. But you should see it somewhere else if you are somewhere else over the next few days. I mean, shit.
And I just also like to shout out our friend, Aaron Parks, who will be at the Village Vanguard all week playing his own strain of jazz with his group Little Big.
Oh, baby.
Two sets a night, starting tonight, April 19th, and going until April 24th. So if you have a little gas in the tank and you are in town for the Fish shows, that Sunday should be very special. It also, that Sunday features a matinee by John Zorn's Masada group.
That's everything you want.
So that's everything you want.
I mean, yeah, for those who don't know, if you don't know Aaron Parks, you're sleeping. You're sleeping in
absolutely
a big way.
You should check it out. And the Little Big Group, that's a cool band he's playing with. They do some really some unique stuff.
Yeah.
And he's a great guy.
Spectacular guy. We love him. That's good, Isaac. This is deep, dude. We're
this
in jazz
deep
territory,
we're
bro.
Jazz. Yeah.
To all the listeners out there, did you think we'd get to jazz territory? I don't know, man, but we are inappropriately happy about sitting down and watching people go absolutely buck wild on their instruments tonight.
Speaking of buck wild on their instruments, the influence of jazz, and the 90s.
Boom, tying it all together. Not a record put out on Nonesuch, but man, we are going to see Fish, the Fish from Vermont, the quartet themselves, the rescheduled shows from late December here, Madison Square Garden, four nights. They start, we're taping this on a Tuesday, right? They start on Wednesday. This podcast comes out on Thursday. Oh, baby. We, you know, hopefully if you're listening, you're already knee deep in this sauce and we are just, you know, three sheets to the wind in the best possible way. oh my God, Isaac, what do we even have to say about this? This is absolutely absurd that this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think there'll be a lot to say next week after the shows have wrapped, but I think we just couldn't hold back excitement. And, you know, we're just, it's kind of wild to get four Phish shows in New York City in April.
It's absolutely unheard of.
It's unheard of.
Which is, you know, we have good reason to be inappropriately happy about this because, my God, like, you know, not only did we, of course, and for good reason, you know, when you get these four Phish shows at the end of December, right, typically, didn't this year. So, you know, whenever they would happen again, even if it was a full calendar year and it was like, you know, we were at December 28th, 2022, you know, we would be losing our minds. But the fact that we got them a few months later in April, where Phish has never played New York in April, I mean, to my knowledge, right? Or certainly not the Garden, right? Like,
yeah,
what?
No.
Yeah. Not in my lifetime, but, you know, that's a short span right there. I'm losing my mind. And I can only be at night one because I'm taking off on tour the following morning, which I will tell you about later. But Isaac, you know, we've seen so many shows at the Garden together and otherwise.
Phish and otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, I feel like we should just, like, you know, some highlights from MSG's past and, of course, with a focus on Phish. But, man, we have seen some shit at the Garden, my friend.
No kidding. What comes to mind, Karina?
I mean, everything from Ricky Martin to Metallica to the September 11th benefit where they debuted Empire State of Mind. When I say they, I mean Jay-Z and Rihanna.
Alicia Keys.
Holy fucking shit.
But Rihanna was there to play Run This Down.
Dude, Rihanna was there. Just about every hip-hop artist under the sun at the time was there, I feel
like.
Yeah,
I mean, we have a good track record of fun shows at Madison Square Garden. And, I mean, it really does feel like the center of the world when Phish is in town. I mean, it's pretty crazy the way that the whole Phish world takes over Manhattan.
Dude, it's my favorite thing. Like, if you asked me what my favorite thing was, it's literally the fact that, you know, world's most famous arena, favorite band happens to, and you know, I've seen quite a few bands. Let me tell you, nobody inhabits a space like Phish inhabits a space. I really stand behind that. And nobody inhabits Madison Square Garden the way Phish inhabits Madison Square Garden. And that's literally, you know, the stars of hip hop that we've seen there, the stars of metal, the stars of pop, the stars of so many different genres of music, you know, and Phish, to me, reigns absolutely supreme.
Well, during the days of the pandemic where live music wasn't allowed to happen, I literally got into the Knicks and the NBA so I could be in Madison Square Garden.
That was the best time ever. And like, we would go to see the Knicks.
It would be 10% capacity. Everybody would be spaced out wearing masks.
It was a very strange time.
It was a very strange time, but I got to say, you know, what it's going to be like to be in that very full room.
Oh.
With Phish, you know, doing these rescheduled shows that have been highly anticipated. I mean, it's kind of like Tweezer was played at the beginning of some time when those shows were announced. And now we're finally getting the kind of energy of the reprise. You know,
couldn't agree more.
There's a real tension and release that's about to go down.
Man, you know, for people like us, for whom this is, you know, kind of, I'm not trying to say it's what we live for. Let's not be that extreme. But I'm not going to lie to you. It's kind of what I live for. So I'm jubilated beyond belief, you know, vibrating.
It's hard to even articulate, which is actually kind of a perplexing thing, given how much we talk about it and think about it.
It's really
true. It's just like, oh, my God, it's so exciting. What will they do? What will they play?
What'll they open with? What? Who will we see? What? Like, just all of it is so, so intense. And of course, you know, I'd be remiss to not mention the fact that we live very close to the Garden, can walk home, is one of the biggest blessings in life. It's the craziest thing ever to be able to leave a Phish show and walk to your abode. We often host many of our friends when Phish comes to town, which is also a huge blessing and an amazing thing to be able to do, and just hang out with so many people who come out to, you know, from all around the country to come see our favorite band in the world's most famous arena. Like, it's the craziest thing. And we're so lucky that this is happening. And it's happening now. It just feels like a rebirth in the city. It's the coolest thing ever.
Well, I look forward to seeing Phish with you tomorrow.
So mutual.
And I'm also excited for your tour dates with Too Many Zoos.
Dude, thank you, Isaac. I am opening for Too Many Zoos up and down the East Coast starting on Thursday. And we're looking at a Thursday in Burlington, Vermont, the home of Phish. But I will be very far from the Phish from Vermont. I will be Karina in Vermont. And that's, we're playing the Higher Ground on Thursday, playing Portland, Maine, Albany, West Virginia, Charlottesville, Virginia, oh baby, Asheville, North Carolina, Greensboro, North Carolina, not in that order, and capping it all off in Atlanta at 420 Fest, baby. Oh yeah. And then I am coming home, driving for 2 days. Hell yeah. And then home for one night. And then I'm going to do some very top secret, exciting shit for about a week after that. It has to do with my debut record. And baby, y'all ain't ready.
You are all not ready.
You're not
actually
ready.
So that's a very exciting tease. But
yeah,
I mean... Woo!
Woo! It's all too much, but it's also just fucking, you know, you just gotta soak this shit in, you know? You just gotta soak it in and, like, come on. It's so good. Let's go. I'm so excited for the next 2.5, 3 weeks, whatever it is. And to kick, you know, I know that you will hold down the fort at MSG for these 4 nights, even though I will be there at the first one and I will be there in spirit at the last three. I feel like my heart will be there.
Oh, no doubt.
Man.
Absolutely.
A beautiful, beautiful thing. Thank God Isaac will be there because we can report on this next week right here on Inappropriate Happiness, your home of all the heady, heady jam band news, among other things. And dude, I feel like we should put a bow on this thing. What else you got for the people? You got some good shit? What do you got?
I'm just thinking about the drummers we're seeing this week. Like, oh, let's just...
Good fucking call.
Glenn Cochi from Wilco.
Huge.
Brian Blade.
Dude.
One of the best... I mean, if you can see Brian Blade play the drums, your week is immediately made.
100%.
100%. Then, Mr. John Fishman. The animal himself.
Animal. Dude. A band
greatest
is only
drummer.
As good as its drummer, and let me tell you, that guy's pretty good.
And then you get to rock out with Chris Corsico.
And Chris Corsico on the drums and cymbals in my band, baby. Let's go. I know. I'm so blessed to have him in my corner. And, you know, when you're a three-piece, it puts even more emphasis on the drums. It puts more emphasis on every position because you're just stripping it down one
when you're
thing
a,
at a time.
A three-piece fronted by the bass player, too.
Yo.
The rhythm.
Dude, the rhythm is so, I mean, that's focused on here. And then we got Mr. Adam November in my band to just, you know, dance all over it, create these incredible soundscapes that only he knows how to do.
He's going to be dancing.
He's
all
going
everywhere.
Dude, we will be dripping and dancing and jubilating. God. Wow. I know. I'm overwhelmed in this episode in a good way, not in like a crippling way, in a holy fucking shit, are we serious with this shit kind of way.
So, from our home to yours.
We wish you the best week ahead. Cannot wait to see you next week. And we need to shout out our people, Brian Brinkman, RJB, and our producer is Marlo Shankweiler. She bad. She good. She bad and good. And when I say bad, I mean good. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And we love all these people endlessly. Podcast couldn't happen without them. And, dude, I mean, any words of wisdom?
Just stay percussive. Stay rhythmic.
Dude, stay fucking out of step with the normal shit. Stay fucking in step with whatever turns you on, baby. Let's go.
Let's go.
Much love to all of you listening. This was an unhinged, spectacular time. And stay inappropriately happy. Be good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Sick kids don't walk on grass.
Osiris.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen, and wherever you get your podcasts.